Podcast City Network.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new week of Casual Geeking. I'm Ori, and today we have Deary, Andrew, and Geek Kev. On this week's episode, we are going into the week of Father's Day. So what better way to do that is to celebrate the dads that made us geeks. So this week we're going to go ahead and talk about our dads ourselves, as well as having the guys maybe talk about the ways that they plan on being dads or the ways that they actually are dads, because I know two of our guys are actually dads. So we're going to go ahead and go on in. Who wants to get us started?
Ways my father influenced my geekdom. It's a topic.
Yes. Or ways you plan on influencing your geekdom in your child.
In your progeny.
Yes, your future progeny.
I love how creepy that sounded when you said it, Andrew. It just warmed my soul, man. Like,
this is especially interesting for me since I have no interest in having children myself, so...
Your demon spawn soldiers.
Now, I do plan on influencing my nieces and nephews in their geekery. And I have actually already done so multiple ways.
See, my kids will 100% over understand how to play Magic the Gathering. Because it is so... It can be, like, quick and fun, or it can be mentally intensive. And I feel like the thought processes that you have to gain to play that game efficiently will help you develop.
Oh, absolutely.
That, and like, I want my kids to have a sense of like whimsy and fun, and like, this is not serious, this is just a game, like.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that, I mean, Dungeons and Dragons and stuff that was kind of difficult for me to like get into as a young man will be like, you know, one of the things that are more prevalent in my children's lives.
That's good.
Any pop culture movies or books that you plan on exposing them to?
Oh.
Knew that was coming. Specifically, I know Deary's love of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, listen. Oh, yes. Okay. Can we just have a moment to understand that oh, man. That Gandalf the Grey is the best. Like, he's just my fucking dude. He's my homie. Like, we're just Gandalf the Grey. Not the white. The OG Gandalf, who will stand up to a fucking Balrog and be like, look, dog, nah.
My gamer tag was Gandalf for years.
Bro.
It still is.
My man.
I don't really remember.
My man said, you shall not pass, get out my hood, cuz. Like, he just threw the gauntlet down. He was like, you want it, I got it for you. I mean,
like, Geek Kev's gamer tag on PS3, like, when I went to join him to play Monopoly during the pandemic, was, I'm like, what's your tag so we can play Monopoly online together? Gandalf, the Grey. And I'm like, really, motherfucker?
There's nothing wrong with that, Kevin. I support you, brother.
I was just a little baffled because we're usually more the Trekkies. We don't really talk about our Lord of the Rings fandom with too much amongst ours, because me and Kev are more Trekkies in nature when we hang out together.
You know, people have lives outside of you.
Oh my word!
This is supposed to be casual geeking, is it not?
Yeah, well, we can still drop a couple F-bombs here and there. Anyways,
people have lives outside of you, Miss...
Okay, we need to edit
bleep, bleep.
That.
Bleep, yeah. Bleep.
Bleep, bleep. Bleep, bleep multiple times, bleep. Mother bleeper.
Bleepity bleep, guys. Bleepity bleep.
Privacy Act, mother bleeper.
Bleepity bleep, bleep, guys.
Anyways, Kev, I know that you have a little one. Well, not so little one anymore. God, it feels like yesterday he was just God going into the third grade.
Yeah, now he's going into now, junior high.
I know. Oh my god, I feel old.
Really?
You must feel so old. Yeah. Sorry. His little one, not so little one, starts middle school next year.
Yep. Oh my word.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, and yeah, and that's where it's at, because my dad is as far from a geek as possible. We've played Magic, we've played Pokemon before that. I got him into anime real early. He's even seen Mythica. So hitting the fantasy. One of the first books I started reading to him was Harry Potter. Even, you know, as soon as I figured he could understand it.
But that's pretty cool.
And he is more of a gamer than I ever was.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's getting into, like, and I know he loves Legos because I hang out with him a little bit myself. We talk Legos, and he's actually starting to get in a little bit of mythology too, because I think we've started I know I've been talking to him a little bit about mythology when I've hung out with him with you guys. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. See, that's where Uncle James can come in. Yep.
Right on.
That's my homie.
Bring it. Takes a tribe, buddy.
We should start exposing him to Percy Jackson. Because Percy Jackson absolutely. Is a good intro series. And they actually, by the way, Rick Riordan actually has a whole Valhalla series. Paul's been listening to it in the car. It is an amazing book series. It is a whole, like, take Percy Jackson, but throw it in Valhalla.
That sounds fucking dope.
Yeah, seriously.
How come I didn't know about this?
I didn't know about it either. I just found out about it. It's ball. Oh my god, it is so good. I've only been listening to like snippets here and there in the car because Paul listens to audiobooks. Because, you know, he's got like a 30-minute car ride into work every day, so why the hell not? So he's been listening to these books, and I'm like, this sounds a lot like the same theming and a lot of the same rhythms, like audio rhythms, literary rhythms that Rick Riordan has. He goes, it should. It's the same guy. I'm like, really? And he's like, he hands me the audiobook case, and I looked it over, and I'm like, wow. He goes, yeah, it's basically Percy Jackson but Valhalla.
Yeah.
I'm like, me needs to get the real book version. Because I don't really do audiobooks. I have two, and one of those is Ready Player One.
Nice.
Oh,
and the other ones are
very short. As a very short sidebar for my audiophile friend, you should listen to T-Pain with no auto-tune.
I will definitely have to do that.
I know that sounds dumb, but it's like the man's got some pipes on him.
By the way, Ready Player One is read by Josh Whedon.
Yes, it is.
What?
Yeah.
Josh Whedon?
Yeah.
Well, we've lost Kevin to the eternities now.
I think, and either that or it's read by one of the Whedons we care about.
But, if I may interject.
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. Huh?
Me and my father, how he affected my geekdom. He kind of made me a geek. he introduced me to sci-fi, horror, anime, video games in general. We'll go in order because it's kind of chronologic. My dad introduced me to sci-fi horror by showing me Aliens at the ripe age of 7.
Oh my god!
Wow!
How are you not terrified?
Actually, I know what he was doing.
Or, But I don't know if that's a parenting win or a parenting fail there.
I actually tried. I tried to introduce my son to Nightmare on Elm Street younger than that.
My uncle did
doesn't
that to
compare.
Me. My uncle did that to me. And we had to sit down and have a conversation about how Freddy Krueger couldn't come get me.
I
legit was afraid to go to sleep for like a week.
I saw The Sixth Sense at like 12 years, at 10 or 11, and I wasn't allowed, I couldn't go upstairs without a flashlight for like 7 months. I am to this day like super paranoid about ghosts. No.
So, the first horror movie that I saw that actually legit scared me was when I was 13, and it was Resident Evil.
What?
Yes. How is that scary? That movie's not scary in the slightest.
No, it's not. I was just convinced that the zombie outbreak was going to happen in Beijing.
Were you living in China at the time?
Yes, I was.
That makes sense. See, now it translates.
Let it be 100% clear that I want the zombie outbreak to happen.
Have you seen my car? The worst part about the zombie apocalypse is pretending I'm not excited about it.
But yeah. So,
see, sorry.
So, in the same year, my dad introduced me to anime. We sat down for a day and just watched anime. It's the lineup started with Akira.
Good start.
Then we started Ghost.
Kudos to you, Andrew's dad.
Then we started Ghost in the Shell. We got about 4 episodes into that, and I'm like, yeah, this isn't my cup of tea. And then we watched the entirety of Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
I have to go ahead and say that I don't know about you guys' dad. I think me and Andrew's dads are probably about on par with how geeky they are.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, I got my start when I was probably about 4 years old. One of my first memories is watching my dad play Zelda on the original NES system. I've been in love with Zelda ever since. One of my first cat's name was Zelda. One of my childhood pets' name was Zelda and Link. We had cats named after video game characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember growing up sitting in my dad's lap watching. My dad would actually pictures of it now, but my dad did it back before there were actually pictures of people doing it. My dad used to give me video game controllers and let me quote unquote play with him. Wasn't hooked up to anything.
Nice. At all. That's an old school trick.
That's because your dad was cool.
So, I would sit in my dad's lap in the living room floor, and my dad was a long haul trucker. So, my first 5 or 6 years of my life, my dad was in the Navy or a long haul trucker. So, my memories of my dad were sporadic up until I was 6, and then he actually got off the road and became a full time dad with me when he got full custody. And so he would sit and I remember sitting in the living room floor, and I would quote unquote play Zelda with my dad while he played. And then my other favorite memory, it's still one of my favorite things to do, me and my dad do this to this day, is watch Star Trek, which is why I'm probably the biggest Trekkie, one of the biggest Trekkies out there, because it's something I do with my dad. It's how we bond. We watch all the different Treks, mainly Next Gen and Deep Space Nine. Those are the two we usually watch together. Mm-hmm. My dad's never been a big fan of Kirk. And because of that, I never really got to be a big fan of Kirk because my dad's like, he's kind of a tool in real life. He's like, I've met him at cons. he's kind of a jerk. He's like, I don't want you to, he's like, he's, and on top of that, he's kind of a sexist jerk. He goes, I don't want you thinking that that's what a good captain is. He goes, he's like, fucking your way through other galaxies is not a good way to go through life. Picard's a good captain. That is not. So,
Picard is the captain.
Picard is the captain.
That's great.
And then when Janeway came into the picture, we also got really big into Janeway because he says, and my dad really admires Janeway. I know he likes her to a certain degree because for him, having daughters, because there's me and my little sister, he very much wants to see powerful females out there because he wants to have us to have role models ourselves. I think my dad was a feminist before feminism was really a thing for us.
Yeah, we're going to get along just fine.
My dad definitely wants to see women. My dad, it's hard for my dad not to be a feminist when you have my bonus mom, who is the most hard, one of the most, my stepmom, my bonus mom, I don't call her stepmom because that's like the worst word ever. I think stepmom and I think evil, like Wicked Witch of the West type thing from Cinderella. Bonus mom is an unforeseen blessing, and that's what she is to me. So my bonus mom is one of these women that are just strong and confident, and she will kick your ass in a heartbeat if you mess with her family. And it's kind of hard not to want to be a feminist when you have that kind of woman by your side, and then she raises daughters like you have. Helps raise daughters like you have. So, yeah. So my dad did that, and then growing up, me and my dad would play, we would watch Hercules with Kevin Sorbo and Xena, and we would play Super Mario Brothers every night before bed. And if on weekends, if I beat my dad in the Mario Luigi rundown on Friday, and I usually only beat my dad on Fridays, wonder why, wink, wink.
I think I just had an epiphany.
What?
I figured out where my dad's geekdom is.
In you?
No.
Just
it's in movies.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, but it's movies. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Please.
It's okay. But yeah, my dad and I would play Super Mario Brothers every night before bed. And if I beat my dad, I got to stay up an extra hour. If I didn't, I had to go to bed. And I usually only meet my dad on Fridays or Saturday nights. Pretty much only on Friday nights because we had church on Sundays. But it was, again, I have all these wonderful geeky memories. My dad and I would also, the fact that my dad's also a giant nerd himself. So if I wanted to see any kind of movie that had any kind of educational background to it, my dad made me study up on the subject before I was allowed to do it. Before I was allowed to go see it. Like Titanic, my dad, I almost borderline had to write a book report on Titanic before I was allowed to go see it, but he didn't actually make me write a book report. I did have to give him an oral, basically tell him the history of the Titanic. And I had to present, make him understand that, let him know that I understood the significance and the lives lost on the Titanic before I was allowed to go see my first rated R movie, which was the movie. My dad never failed to find educational ways to sneak it into pop culture. Oh, you want to go see your first rated R movie? Here's some education to go along with it. Oh, you want to go hiking? Let's go hunt for arrowheads along the way. That's just my dad in a nutshell. He always tries to find ways to connect education or nerdy ways to connect with you along the way, especially if you're interested in it. He definitely tries to find ways to connect with you no matter who you are, especially if he knows a little bit about it. My dad is the king of random useless knowledge just as well as I am. I resent him on some of this useless knowledge, especially when it comes to my downfall. One particular instance, it was Paul, I love my fiance more than life itself. I do, however, hate the Andy Griffith Show. I do not like this show. Do not like this show. I don't understand it. It is just so mundane.
Yeah, that's the point. It's just chill.
I know, and Paul is obsessed with it. Fun fact about my hometown, It's about 2.5 hours from Mayberry.
That's awesome.
And my dad, Pilot Mountain, where they filmed it and where Andy Griffith's hometown is, we drive right past it on our way back from Winston-Salem, where we went to go to old Winston-Salem, Moravian culture, my heritage. My dad goes, oh, you guys are going to old Winston-Salem. Yeah. You know you're going to drive right past Mayberry on your way back. Paul, you said you loved the Andy Griffith Show. Mother. Dad.
I support this.
Paul goes, really? I'm like, dude. And he's like, what? I said, I don't like the show. And he does. Paul goes, we're going to have to check it out. And he Paul trots off to the car. And I looked at, and I went and grabbed my camera. I said, for the record, I know which one of us is the favorite daughter is, and it's not me. And I walked out of the house, blew him a kiss, and walked out of the house.
So that ties in really, really well with where I was going. So as far as my dad introducing me to video game culture, it started with me watching him play Flight Simulator. He had the whole rig for it, too. He had the yoke with all the levers and stuff on it for what? I want to say it was like Flight Simulator 96 or something like that.
Was it the Thrustmaster set?
It might have been. I don't remember.
Been there.
Yeah. But then it evolved into me watching him play The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time on the N64.
Wow.
And then we would my godfather lived close by at that time, and we would hang out with him, and occasionally he'd let me play his original Game Boy. And one day he just looks at me and he's like, why don't you have it? Just take it. And that was my first gaming device. I had Super Mario World, Castlevania, and Tetris.
How did we ever play on that tiny little screen? That little green screen.
I got my first Game Boy, I want to say, the year I turned 6, in 1994. And, like, my first two game, my first three games were Kirby, Zelda, and Tetris. And I'm 95% sure Zelda, the only reason why I got Zelda was because my dad wanted to play it whenever I got in trouble. Which was often back then.
Checkmate.
But,
I mean, it is Zelda.
Yeah.
So among Deary's work crew, there is a term known as McWordering, where you over-microanalyze things. And I realized that comes from my dad as well, because we would talk. We'd talk about things we experienced in movies and games, and we'd be like, so how would this happen? And we'd either discuss the physics or the chemistry or the physiology of it. And once we hit a wall, we're like, okay, time to hit the internet.
Nice. Okay. I mean, that's fair, I guess.
And we would learn all about it, and we'd just get really in-depth about it.
See, that's what me and my dad do, but with cooking shows. Me and my dad both love to cook. Mm-hmm. So occasionally my dad will, when he was a truck driver, he would stop at visitor centers across the United States, and he would pick up random recipes from, like, states. Like, most popular recipe, like, Alabama's make these things called thingamajiggers.
Yeah.
And they're really good. For those of you who don't know what a thing, at least this is, or is it called a whatchamacallit? I don't know. Anyways, they're basically a Rolo melted onto a pretzel.
That would be a thingamajigger.
Yeah. Anyways, they're really good. And my dad brought it back with him last time he stopped at one of the times he stopped at the Alabama Visitor Center. And we made them one Christmas, and it was like, oh my God, these are really good. So we do that. We also occasionally will tune in to the Mexican cooking channel, the Telenova channels on my dad's TV. Mm-hmm. And neither one of us speak any form of Spanish at all. We both speak French. It is still hilarious because occasionally they will have a cooking show on. And we will attempt to cook based upon what we think. If we have the ingredients in the house, we will attempt to cook the recipe. This is how we ended up making plantains one time. Baked plantains. Using... They turned out really well considering we did not have the banana leaves. We used wax paper instead of banana leaves.
That's an acceptable substitute.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We looked it up after when we're like, oh, we don't have banana leaves. We have everything else that they're showing in the picture. And we saw and he paused the TV. I'm like, does that say 350 or 375? I don't know. Split the difference.
Is there anything I don't have in common with your dad?
I'm just curious why your dad had plantains lying around.
We didn't use plantains. We used bananas.
Oh, okay.
We ended up making caramelized bananas. They were really yummy. My nieces loved them. Now they're like now every now and then my dad actually makes them for my nieces and nephews.
So you made bananas Foster, effectively.
Effectively, nice. Yeah. Caramelized bananas Foster. They were really yummy.
Bananas Foster's flambéed?
Yeah.
But
caramel.
Okay.
My dad also makes, like, one of my dad's favorite, the things my dad also makes for me when I come home, when he has the ingredients, depends on what he's killed that year. I'm a country girl. My dad hunts. If I'm home during the wintertime, occasionally he'll make me my favorite, which is deer spaghetti. I freaking love deer spaghetti. I grew up on it. It's basically like regular old spaghetti. You just use ground deer meat instead of hamburger meat. Uh-huh. Something about it's just, it tastes like home to me. So dad'll make that, or he'll make me, for some reason, I only like grits when my dad makes it for me because I don't know how to make them right without my dad. I can't make them right without my dad. My dad has to make me grits when I go home because otherwise I can't do them right.
I mean, I guess.
My dad does it better than I do.
I'm not a fan of grits.
I love grits.
My dad will tell you, he goes, there's nothing different I do. He has straight up looked at me like I'm an idiot, said motor, all I do is add butter and sugar to them and a little bit of cheese. But you still do them better than I do. He goes, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but whatever.
I'm just imagining Hank Hill there. It's only 5:30 a.m. and it's that girl's already not right.
My dad rolls his eyes at me and just shakes his head a lot. You guys shake your head at me a lot. My dad does it exponentially more.
I usually just roll my eyes really loud.
And my beau and his mom just looks at my dad and goes, that's your kid right there. And laughs as she walks away. Because there's some times where there's no denying the genetics of the stuff I do, because it's pure my dad.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that happen before, too, where my mannerisms, where I've been at the, where I've been home for a visit, because my whole family lives up in North Carolina. My bonus mom has come to breakfast, and me and my dad, because we both drink mud. I don't know how to drink regular coffee, y'all. My dad, I've been drinking trucker coffee since I've been old enough to drink coffee. I don't know how to drink regular strength coffee. Everything else, if it's regular strength, it tastes too weak. But yeah, she came into breakfast and me and my dad were eating. She goes, it's like watching a mirror. Because me and my dad's mannerisms are almost identical.
That reminds me, talking about coffee. I remember my first time having coffee. I forget if it was the summer or break or something. But the first time my dad took me to work with him, I had no idea what was going on. I just came to work with him. He sat me down at a computer. My dad was a code monkey at the time, so lots of computers. He pulled up, at the time, the LucasArts webpage and just was like, have fun, play all the games.
Wow, I love those games.
He's going around and I go up and I'm like, hey, I'm thirsty. And he just pours me a cup of coffee.
Oh boy.
I have coffee, I'm playing my Star Wars games. We get ready to go home. And we don't go the right way. We end up going up to AMC. And I'm like, what's going on? And my dad was like, you remember Star Wars? Yeah, I really like Star Wars. There's a new movie out. And we're going to watch it.
Aww.
A random Star Wars watching. That's awesome.
This was the Phantom Menace, by the way.
Nice.
But yeah, that was my first time going to work with my dad, having coffee, and seeing a Star Wars film in theaters.
That's pretty awesome.
I have seen every Star Wars film in theaters at release when I could, except for Rise of Skywalker, which I still have not seen.
It's on Disney Plus.
I am aware.
My dad, because my dad was a trucker, I couldn't really go to work with my dad. My dad did bring work to me one time at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like the coolest kid in school for 2 whole weeks. And my dad brought his rig to school. People got to climb around in it. I was the cool one because my dad was a trucker. And then I got to go home with my dad for the day after that because it was almost the afternoon. Uh-huh. And I got to ride back to the base in Charlotte with my dad in his rig, which was always fun. I love riding around in big rigs. I grew up riding around in them. I almost feel more at home in certain bigger trucks because of the fact that I grew up in them.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a handle when I was a little kid. I was Little Frog because Dad said I hopped around. I was hyperactive. I would talk to my dad's trucker friends on the CB.
Bring your parent to school day, parents job day. That's what it's called. One of my parents only came to one of those because my dad couldn't get off work. And I don't know why my mom never came, but, she did come once. And she talked to the entire class about, she does therapeutic horseback riding.
Oh, cool.
So she just talked to the class about that, how riding horses helps you physiologically and mentally. Yeah. It's really cool, actually. for a while I considered getting into that for a career, and just never worked out that way. But it's really cool. Look into it if you guys are curious.
I enjoy horseback riding myself. It's just, I think I enjoy it just for the sheer fact that I enjoy being up that high. and I love horses. I just enjoy them. They're such wonderful creatures. I did go to work with my mom once or twice when I was growing up. My mom was a cashier at a grocery store. I got great tips. When you're cute and adorable, you get mad tips as a bagger. So I did go to work with my mom once or twice for take your daughter to work day.
It helps when you're on a horse.
It does help when you're on a horse. I'm sure, you know, those groceries will just bag themselves when you're on a horse.
Yep.
But I did get to meet Richard Petty a couple times once or twice when I did that, because the town where we lived was actually the hometown of Richard Petty. So we lived there. He lived in Level Cross, which wasn't too far from where we lived. And Richard and his wife Linda were regular customers of my mom, and so I met him a couple times because he came in and saw my mom, and they were both there. Richard and Linda are both really nice people. Linda gave me like $5.
Hey, dearie.
I don't know where he's at. He's muted.
Oh, okay.
Where is he?
Probably indisposed.
The facilities.
Yeah. But, so, Kev.
Yes.
What, if you could surprise your progeny with anything here soon, what would it be? Because I'm assuming it would be geek related.
Honestly, it would probably have to be a PS5. Both of us are super excited for this. I was just actually I need to post those
Looks like the router, right? Not the one that looks like the mini fridge.
It is so pretty. Are you kidding me? It is gorgeous with the black and white.
I just had to make fun of it a little bit.
Have you seen the hardware that's in this thing?
Yes.
It is unbelievable.
Oh, by the way, getting back to Ready Player One, it's not Joss Whedon that narrates it, it's Will Wheaton.
Oh, that's actually a little better.
Yeah, it is. My pillow fell backwards.
Just steamroll me when I hardly ever talk, you know.
Sorry. My brain went, shit, I said the wrong name earlier.
Wow. You know, I actually just thought of something, and we've stated on here that geekery is anything that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me that there is a certain niche of geekery that my father introduced me to. And for me, it became just in general making things with my hands.
That's good.
It's gone several other directions, but it started when he took me on the job with him doing construction and woodworking. And I realized that I like creating things and then standing back and looking at what I created, and it's a pretty cool feeling. Anyway.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can definitely understand and get with that. My dad instilled a lot of that similarly into me, which is why I help my dad out with a lot of his... My dad does most of his own home repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we did too.
When I go home, a lot of times I'll help my dad out with his honey-do list.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been known to climb up on roofs. I've been known to go out. Like, one Christmas, all the women are inside cooking and everything, and I'm the tomboy. My dad kind of raised me to be just as good, if not just basically just to be as good as a son. So I know how to do everything a guy can do. I know how to work on cars. I know how to do all the stuff. And my uncles are over here trying to fix this, literally trying to figure out how to patch this roof hole. It is colder than blue blazes outside. We've got a fire pit. We've got three different fire pits going. We're getting ready to deep fry the turkeys and do all this other outdoor cooking. And I looked at my dad. I said, "What do you need help with?" He says, "I need wood." He goes, "But we don't have enough hands to chop it." And I said, "All right, point me to the wood pile." And I literally stood outside for 6 hours and chopped wood to help.
That's awesome.
So, I was a little confused when you started that story, because I'm like, why do you have fire pits on your roof?
We have fire pits on the property to keep us warm while they worked on the roof. My dad didn't work. I hadn't learned how to re-shingle roofs yet. This was early on in my man tutorials with my dad. I now know how to do it. I hadn't learned yet. Otherwise, my dad would have sent me up there to go Billy Goat scruffing it.
Feel that.
But, no, I sat outside and I chopped wood to keep the fire pits going while my uncles and my dad worked.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Eventually, and that, my friends, is also how I got flu for the second time in a row coming home for Christmas. Because I stayed outside way longer than I was supposed to after living in Florida for way too long.
So, excuse me. Ori.
Yeah.
Has your dad's influence on your geekery affected your job selection? I know that you have something coming up that relates to what you do for Coda. If you're curious what that is, you can check out the Fireside Chats every Wednesday at between 6 and 7. First one went up last week, where I discuss what Ori does within the company.
So, as far as what I do, which is, I don't really think my dad, as much as I love what I do, I don't think my dad's influence in the geekery side of it really played much into it. It's just something I kind of picked up on my own.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's influence has always been more or less logic oriented. My dad has a very, my dad has a very Vulcan mindset to a lot of things. My dad is a very loving and very compassionate, and believe me, my dad is the most loving, compassionate man on the planet. But he is also very logic oriented. He is very logic brained, which is very weird considering my dad tested Gryffindor. My dad is a hardcore Gryffindor. But I think he's like Hermione level Gryffindor. So my dad thinks a great many, my dad is very, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that my dad's intelligence factor comes from that. And the fact that my dad's perpetual curiosity and desire to fight for others' rights. I think my social activism comes from my dad, because my dad's always been very much on the forefront of believing that, something that I learned from a very early age from my dad was, one, your service members, the service members in this world, i.e. our men and women in uniform, military, deserve the utmost respect. They are putting our lives on the line. I learned that that was one of the first lessons I learned in this life, because my dad and my mom met in the military and they served. So any chance I get, I do everything I can to show my support. Even though I didn't serve, I show my support in other ways. Secondly, My dad has always told me that it doesn't take anything to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
It is always, it doesn't take anything to be kind. It is literally absolutely nothing. It doesn't hurt you to be kind. Doesn't say it, that doesn't necessarily mean that you become a total doormat.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one of the other final thing that I think really influenced me was seeing how my dad's faith. My dad has always been my faith leader. My dad has a very strong connection to God, and mm-hmm. his faith has definitely led me through mine. And seeing how connected he is to our faith has definitely helped me become stronger in my own. And also the kindness and the belief that you do good where you can. You make a difference where you can. You do what you can to make the difference in the world. You do what you can to make the world a better place. Even if it's on the smallest scale, whether it's making eye contact to a homeless person to let them know that you see them, because mm-hmm. believe me, as somebody who's been homeless, making eye contact to somebody to let them know they're on the planet means the fucking world. Mm-hmm. Letting them know that they are not invisible, that you see them. Whether mm-hmm. it is taking 10 minutes to help somebody else or letting somebody know that you see that they're not invisible. Because the mm-hmm. vast majority of us go throughout this life feeling like we're invisible. So that's something my dad taught me, was to try and make the world a better place one random act of kindness at a time. So my dad does that through church ministry and other ways. And I've taken that upon myself to do that myself, which is make the world a better place one random act of kindness at a time. And finding my other ways, which is through Relay for Life, through the USO, working with the USO. Through donating my times and through donating blood. I donate blood on the regular because I have one of the most common blood types out there, which is A positive. My blood type is...
We have the same blood type.
All three of us, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Three of us have the same blood type. My dad's belief and desire to see the world be better just by doing better and being the change he wants to see in the world has definitely been a motivator for me. My dad geeks out about the belief that if you want to be the change you want to see the world, if you want people to see Christ's love, you have to be Christ's loves in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his ministry. That's what Dad geeks out about, is his love of God and his love of family. Mm-hmm. Dad geeks out about being a pawpaw these days. My dad is the most gung-ho grandfather on the planet, I swear to God. My dad is that grandfather that is front and freaking center on everything. For all four grandkids that my sister has.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he respects my desire never to have kids, and so he is also gung-ho on my right to choose that fact.
That's good.
So. Yeah, I know everybody thinks they have the world's best dad, but I honestly think that I probably got the best one. I did already pick out his Father's Day present, in case Dad listens to this, which I'm going to encourage him to listen to it. I did already find one of his. I had LJ, my cousin, kind of help me pick it out, which is kind of awesome and funny.
Nice.
It was down between two different ones. One of them said, I'm sorry for what I did when I was a teen. I'm sorry for all the things I've done. If it helps, you only know about half of it. And the other one I won't say because it's the one I'm going with. That, and I'm going to order him something that we both love and enjoy, and I'm enjoying right now. So what are you guys getting you guys, your dad, what are you guys thinking about for Father's Day for your pops?
I don't know. I'm probably going to run him a Glock or a Taurus.
You are going to what?
I'm going to go get him a gun.
I was going to say bourbon, but whatever.
I mean, like, you have to understand for my family, like, my dad's not a very big nerd, not a very big geek. But he likes guns, he likes movies, and he likes these boys. He's a very typical dude. He's a solid guy. But he does, like, guns and gun shows and, like, enjoys that stuff. So I'll probably hit him with, like, a 1911.
Oh, we've got one of those.
Nice.
Yeah. I sat on it the other day almost.
I was thinking about messing with him because he's not the biggest fan of chrome weapons. And just getting it all chromed out like 1911 and giving it to him and being like, you can't strip it down. Just, yeah, I mean, it's cool that you got the thing, but you can't strip it down. Sorry, bro.
Kev, what are you thinking?
Well, My dad is a wine aficionado. I'm definitely going to be getting him a bottle of wine that he wouldn't likely buy for himself. And honestly, because of necessities and because he's stubborn, I am probably going to get him a custom-made cane.
Oh, nice.
He won't use any of the generic store-bought crap that he has. And I figure if I get something that's made just for him, he might be likely to use it and maybe fall down a little less.
Especially if you get it for him and it's a gift. And then yeah, Southern hospitality manners will kick in and he'll know it'll be considered an act of rudeness if he doesn't use it. Not that your dad will care that much.
No. My dad's as Yankee as they come.
That is true. One can hope. Andrew?
Good news.
What good news?
There is a particular thing I've been working on as far as living situation that should come to fruition by then.
Father's Day?
Yeah.
The gift is good news.
Yes.
The gift is good news.
Yes. So, what are you getting for your father?
So, I currently live in the home that I grew up in, renting it from my parents. We've been talking about buying it. The problem has been the litigation. I don't know if that's the right word, but so we need an inspector to come, not an inspector, a appraiser to come around and look at the house so that we can go forward with getting a loan. And that should all be lined up by Father's Day.
Oh, right. Yay. So you're basically giving your dad money.
Kind of, yeah.
He put it so much more poetically, Corey.
I had to tease him about it a little bit. Any of you guys ever done? Okay, so I know this is a lead-in for me, but I'm gonna go ahead and ask. Have you guys ever done anything super surprising for your dads?
Yes. Well, for right. my dad.
To not your dad, for your dad, like did something really like sweet or kind or like a surprise for your dad.
So we have this thing with my father every year. where we try to make him cry.
That is he's horrible.
No, no. See, what it is we tried to make him cry by, like, doing nice things for him on, like, Christmas or...
Oh, okay, so that's sweet.
Yeah, see, like, we don't want him to cry sad tears. We want him to cry happy tears. And it is, it's getting difficult because the old man's growing calluses over his heart. Like last year, my sister got him a blanket made out of like my grandma's pictures and stuff where she passed. Mm-hmm. And it was good. She beat me. I got him a camera the year before that. I got him like a Nikon camera because he's a photograph aficionado. Like he wanted to be a photographer as a kid. So, like, I bought him a really nice Nikon, and, like, you know, we set up for family photos and stuff like that. Like, we try to do, like, the most meaningful thing we can, and at this point, it's just become a competition between me and my sister. Like, we just see who can make Dad cry first, and she gets so mad because we split a duplex, and I live with him, so I can get him early in the day before she gets there on Christmas.
Something I have done randomly. Ah, I remember. I know what I did.
Okay.
So for the longest time, my dad would have game night with his buddies from work. He eventually switched companies and they fell out of contact a bit due to the huge amount of workload that was on him. When things slowed down a bit, I reorganized that for him.
Aw, that's What's sweet. Up?
I don't know if my dad knew about it beforehand or not, but...
Still the thought that counts.
Mm-hmm.
Kev, you ever do anything like that?
Well, it's not very random, but on holidays, I always used to write personal handwritten greeting cards. And I usually managed to say something that would be a tearjerker trigger.
Oh,
sweet.
You're the best kind of son.
So, do you like...
Huh?
Go ahead.
Do you do like calligraphy and all that?
No. No. Oh, okay.
He just writes with his girly handwriting.
Yeah, right.
Makes his father very excited.
More like my doctor's handwriting.
Yeah, his penmanship is not great. Alright, well, I will go ahead and do this and then we'll start to wrap up. So about 5 or 6 years ago. Probably not even 5 or 6 years, probably like 4 years ago, right after me and Kev actually started hanging out, ironically, I got the inkling to go home. I hadn't been home in a few years, and I knew I was getting a good sized tax return.
Mm-hmm.
So I made plans with my bonus mom and my little cousin LJ in February to go home for Father's Day. My dad did not have a single freaking clue I was coming home. I am, by the way, just so everyone knows, my dad technically has two daughters. We have my bonus sister, which is my stepsister, but I am my dad's only biological child. But my little sister was raised with me. We call each other sisters. We're sisters. My dad, again, I hadn't seen my dad in about 2 years. So I booked a flight home in February. I had this planned out to the day when I was coming home. My nana, and I'm really glad I went home because about a year and a half later, my nana got sick and we lost her. So, it ended up being one of the last times I got to see my nana alive. We went home. I got home. The night before I'm supposed to go home, my bonus mom had a mini stroke, so I was freaking out about having to possibly take a $70 Uber back to my hometown from an hour and a half away from Charlotte. So she ended up being fine and ended up just being a heart palpitation, not even a mini stroke. She ended up taking her medicine. She was fine, picked me up from the airport. I get home. 2 o'clock rolls around. We pick Nana up from dialysis. And my grandparents live about not even, like, basically next door to my dad. So, I go up, we call my dad. Well, I don't call my dad. My Nana calls my dad and says, "Hey, Jeff, can you come up to the house? We need you to come and grab something for us." And he goes, "Yeah, I just got home. I'll be right up there." Asked where my bonus mom was, because I don't want to name names. My dad's already been named enough. Very generic first name, my father. So she's around, but she can't lift nothing. I'm sitting on the couch next to my grandmother, and my dad walks to the door, and I looked at him and said, "About damn time you got home." My dad literally sits there in a complete and utter shocked look on his face and goes, "What the fuck? When the F did you get here? What the fuck? What the hell? When the fuck did you get here? Who picked you up? When did you land? How long has this been planned?" And my dad is just baffled by the fact that his daughter, who he has not seen in 2 years, is physically standing here hugging on him. And he's tearing up a little bit. I'm like, "Hey," I said, "just for the record, we've had this plan since February when I got my tax return." He goes, "You mother effers." Because in my family, we use the F word like it's candy. It's sprinkled in liberally.
It's a comma,
yeah. Exactly. My dad looks around and he's like, who all knew you were coming? And every hand in the room, it's my cousin, my grandparents, my mom, my bonus mom, my little sister. Everyone hand in the room raises, and my dad points them all out and goes, "You're a fucker, you're a fucker, you're a fucker." He goes, "How long are you here for?" I'm like, "I'm here for a week. Happy Father's Day." He goes, "Well, I'm glad you're here," hugs me, and I'm like, I said, "I hadn't spent Father's Day with you since I was 10 years old. I figured I'd spend one with you now." I'll tell you what, he took me around to every place. I haven't been home in 2 years, and he showed me off like I was some prize pig at the fair. My kid's home. I'm a cashier at I am a clerk at a gas station in Florida. It's not like I do some fancy job. But damned if my dad wasn't proud I was home. But yeah. That is my nice little I'm home story. And to this day, anytime I drive up Claude Felter Road and I see that giant wreath on the front door, my heart just lightens up and I know I'm home. But I do believe that's about all the time we have for this episode of Casual Geeking. Anybody got any final words for us today?
Old man, if you hear this, happy Father's Day.
I think I can repeat that sentiment. Daddy, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.